listening to Spooky Show with your host, Kate.
Important questions.
And 5, 6, 7, 8.
Welcome to Spooky Show, the spookiest show in the entire world of the universe ever.
In the history of the world.
In the sun.
In the life.
In the planets.
In the universe.
And everything else.
In the metaverse.
I'm your host, Kate, and Harrison's here.
That's correct.
Beans is here too. We're on a boat kick. We're on a boat kick.
We
have to sail the seven seas. Today's
we're doing another boat.
Boat. I realized that while I was researching, I was like, God, I just did a boat. But we're doing another boat. We're doing, well, you already know by the title, but Harrison doesn't know. We're going to talk about the conspiracy theory that the Titanic didn't sink.
Okay.
Fun, right?
Perhaps.
You seem skeptical.
I'm very skeptical of this.
Well, yeah, I mean, Okay.
I'm very skeptical of this.
Okay, yeah, we're going to talk about a few of the conspiracies that go along with the Titanic and, like, why it sank, whatever. As always, I'll start with a background about the ship and the sinking, and then we'll dive into, like, you know, the conspiracy and...
Sounds good.
...the other conspiracies surrounding it. All right, the RMS Titanic was built in Belfast, Ireland, and it was the second of three Olympic-class ocean liners. So the first ship was the RMS Olympic. And the third ship was the RMS Britannic, which was originally called the Gigantic. Now, this was considered a luxury fleet of the British company called White Star Lines. So they have these three gorgeous, beautiful, big old ships. They were built to essentially transport people from England to America. And the first discussion to actually produce these ships happened in 1907 between the White Star Lines chairman, J. Bruce Ismay, and the American financier we all know and love, J.P. Morgan.
Good morning, Ismay. That's from the Titanic musical.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, so I know a lot of these names.
Like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah. So, J.P. Morgan controlled the White Star Line's parent corporation, the International Mercantile Marine Company. Is that how you say it? Mercantile? Mercantile?
Yeah. I think that's right.
Why are you messaging my best friend on Facebook?
What?
Hey, Jamie.
Yeah.
Did she message? No, she just messaged Jamie.
Harrison.
No, that's not you. That's not your friend, Jamie.
Oh, I thought it said Jamie Sullivan.
It says Jamie Smith.
Oh.
About music.
Harrison's computer is up, but from where I'm sitting, it looked like my BFF Jamie Sullivan was messaging him on Facebook. They're always chit-chatting about music.
We are. We DM about stuff. But no, I'm talking to a different Jamie.
Okay.
No docs.
Anyway.
A male Jamie. One of the great joys of that name.
It's a great name.
It's a great name.
So, yeah, he owned the parent company. However, J.P. Morgan ended up purchasing White Star Lines altogether from Bruce Ismay's father. But he kept Bruce on as president/chairman in charge. Now, not only were these ships meant to take people from England to America and vice versa, but they were built to be larger than anything that had been built before.
Yes.
As well as being the last word. The last word in comfort and luxury.
The very last word.
They were truly meant for rich people. And the price of the tickets to board the Titanic shows that. First class cabins. It was $4,300 one way, which is over $100,000 in today's
holy
money. Yeah. So, yeah, it's mostly catered to wealthy people. But of course, there are people of all classes and immigrants and like everything on this ship as well. But you're divided up by class. So like the first class passengers are at the top and they have like insanely nice suites. Like think of Rose's suite in the movie, like. Elaborate, very nice suites. Now, these types of ships will usually take about 2 years to build. So building started in 1908 in Belfast by shipbuilders Harland and Wolfe, who had a great relationship and like experience with White Star Lines in the past. They've built some other boats for them. About 14,000 workers assisted because this ship was handmade. basically, if you were in Belfast and, like, you weren't working on the ship, like, what were you doing? Like, it was, like,
right.
The town, like, did this ship.
Well, because you would need that many people.
Yeah.
Period. To and build something that large in a not 10-year time frame.
I think Belfast, too, was, like, a shipbuilder town. So, like, that's kind of what everyone's job was. So now I'm going to talk about something boring for a second.
Couple Bell facts for you.
Okay. I'm going to talk about something kind of boring for a second, but it's also important. Harrison, that was so rude. Shut up. So, at this time in history, the shipbuilders had gone from iron to steel. So they were mostly using steel rivets on this boat.
Why was that?
And if you don't know what a rivet is kind of like a big, it looks like a big screw or like a metal shaft that provides like a watertight seal when pushed glowing hot through drilled holes in two pieces of metal.
Icebergs can't melt steel beams.
Shut the fuck
Icebergs can't. They can't melt steel beams.
Freaking done. But to get the steel rivets onto the ship, they used this big machine that would like shoot the rivets in. But around the curvature of the boat, this machine couldn't function properly. So the workers used iron rivets and hand hammered them in for this wow. part of the boat. But at the same time, no one really knew what difference it made. Like, where they used
iron. Yeah, we can't tell the difference between a steel rivet and an iron rivet. You're kind of an idiot.
No, like, they didn't know, like, what would happen if we used a steel one here or an iron one here. Like, they didn't really think, they didn't know at this time.
That this ship would famously hit an iceberg.
Yeah, that too.
But they did know that icebergs cannot melt steel beams.
Right. Okay, so let's just jot that down. So as for size, for its time, it was absolutely huge. The Titanic was 882 feet long and had 10 decks, 8 of which were for passenger use.
Big ship, big ship.
It was the largest ship in the world at this point, and it was extremely, extremely similar to its sister ship, the Olympic. Literally, the design for the Titanic was pretty much cut and copied from the Olympic design. And the captain of the Titanic was a man named Edward J. Smith, who had been captain of the Olympic, and the Titanic was going to be his final voyage before going into retirement.
Dang, bro. Dang. I would say he did.
I would say it was his final voyage.
And I would say it was retirement. Checking out early, baby.
Is it too soon?
To the maiden. Is it too soon to joke about something that's almost 100 years old?
Yeah.
Over 100 years old, right? Sunk in
1912.
Yeah. Oh, it's 100 years this year, right?
Wow.
Or last year. Or no, in 2012 was 100 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stupid dumbasses. This is all just making me think about the Titanic musical.
So he was considered one of the most experienced captains. It was also one of the highest paid. Do-do-do. Now let's talk about the switch conspiracy.
Is this part of the conspiracy? Is that he was high paid? Is that why you pointed that up?
No.
Oh, so you're just being rude? You're just doing a nice little dig at the rich?
I'm just trying to say that he was an experienced captain.
Okay.
Like, trusted, and...
You just pointed it up in such a way, that as you oft do with little facts.
Oh, when I go, do-do-do.
No, you just kind of pointed it up. You were like, and he's also the highest paid. And you're like, oh, I should clue in for this.
Okay, no, that was just letting you all know that he was a good captain. He was good at his job.
Okay.
All right, we're going to talk about the switch conspiracy.
Switch.
Okay, so you know how some people say the Titanic never sank?
No, I've never heard that before today, but yes.
You never heard that?
No.
Oh my God.
That's why I was like, what are you talking about?
No, this is like a huge conspiracy. I've had people like say this to me.
All right, carry on.
Okay, so the conspiracy is that the Titanic never sank. And not that a sinking didn't occur. It happened. We saw it. But that it was actually the sister ship, the Olympic, that sank.
Oh, classic two planes.
That's right.
This is just
switch.
Like the same. Okay, carry on.
What is it?
Just carry on. I don't know. This sounds like it's sounding a lot like, you know, a lot of the other kind of conspiracies that always arise around big tragedies, which are like, like 9/11, there's a lot of conspiracy theories that already sound similar to this.
Yeah.
But carry on.
So yeah, the conspiracy is it wasn't the Titanic, but it was actually the Olympic. So it goes, in 1911, the Olympic had a collision with the HMS Hawk, which was a military ship. And it was a pretty bad collision that meant the Olympic needed to be repaired. Also, everything I'm about to say going, like, from here now...
is conspiracy.
Is the conspiracy.
So these are not facts. Sometimes Kate is so good at delivering these conspiracies, you're like, wait, is that true?
It did
like,
hit.
We listened to the whole Birds Aren't Real one, and I forgot that it was, like, a frame tale by the end. I'm like, really? This is what has happened.
It did hit... This collision did happen, but I just want to say, like...
Okay, so we're just talking pure... We're in pure conspiracy mode now.
So it hit... this military ship, the RMS Hawk, and it was bad. Olympic needed serious repairs. Now with this collision, the insurance company wouldn't pay out to fix this because the Hawk was a military vessel and the Olympic was a civilian vessel. So when they did like the hearing for this, they found in favor of the Hawk because it's a military vessel. So the repairs for the damage of the Olympic would not be covered by insurance. It would have to be paid out of pocket by J.P. Morgan and all those folks. Also, after this whole collision, they found that the Olympic had scraped the bottom of the ocean and ruined one of its propellers.
Huh.
So since they couldn't have the Olympic down for that long, because this was like the most important ship of the fleet.
Yeah, it was huge, obviously. Yeah.
And they didn't have time to make a new propeller. They had to use one of Titanic's propellers and put it on the Olympic because it was faster to get it up and running.
Huh.
This will come back.
Okay.
Remember that they put the propeller of the Titanic onto the Olympic.
Okay.
So, the overarching conspiracy of this is that the Olympic has gone through a ton of major issues. There were a few others I didn't mention, like a few accidents. And it's like literally just a mess of a boat at this point and kind of costing JP Morgan a lot of money. So instead of repairing it and getting it back up and running and wasting all this money on repairs because like insurance isn't going to cover anything, they're going to swap the name tags on the Olympic and the Titanic. So now that the Titanic is said to actually be the janky Olympic, they're going to have an accident with it or do something with it and collect the insurance because it's happening to the Titanic now instead of the Olympic, which has a reputation for being janky. And I'll explain this further.
Okay.
So it's said that the idea was that the seacocks were going to be opened up at sea to slowly flood the ship, and that it wouldn't be a problem because if they had numerous ships that were stationed nearby to take off the passengers, the shortage of lifeboats wouldn't matter because as the ship would sink very slowly, the boats could make several trips to the rescuers. So that was like their original plan. That's the idea behind this conspiracy. The Olympic is damaged, the Titanic is not. So instead of sending Titanic out on its maiden voyage, they send the Olympic out as Titanic, and they are going to do something to it to make it look like an accident and get a ton of money for the ship.
Yeah, okay, insurance fraud.
Yeah, and they couldn't continue to sail the Olympic anyway, so they're like, let's not waste all this money repairing it, let's just sink it, and we'll get a bunch of money.
A boatload of money.
A yacht.
For lack of a better term.
A yacht of money.
Yeah, a yacht of money. Which roughly translates to today's money to a boatload.
So that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
For running simple math, a yacht into today's terms would be a boatload of money.
Hmm?
A yacht of money back then is like more like a boatload now.
Yes. So essentially they say that the names were changed, that while they were docked for a few days, they were able to swap out all the stationery and the plates or any branding from one ship to another. And they did this with a small paid team of workers over a weekend. They also state that the ships are just alike with subtle differences. So, like, for example, the portholes up in the front. The Titanic has 14 and the Olympic has 16. The Titanic has some even windows and the Olympic has, like, uneven windows and vice versa. And now we know how we said the propellers were switched. Well, they claim, the conspiracy theorists, that the propeller on the Olympic has the Titanic's dock number 401.
Okay.
Also, all the White Star Line ships had their names engraved into the holes, like, you know, on the side of the boat.
Yeah, right, of course.
But the Titanic's had its name riveted over the top.
Okay.
Now, when the Olympic had that collision with the Hawk, they say the keel was damaged and bent, which is like the main structural member and the backbone of the ship. It's essentially where you see the Titanic hit the iceberg in the movie. So this would obviously be a major issue that's irreplaceable. And since it was the fault of the Olympic, they had to do something drastic, like sink it for the insurance money.
Okay.
So they had this conglomeration of insurance companies, and the insurance policy was taken out 2 weeks before the main voyage of the so-called Titanic. They insured it for $5 million.
The alleged Titanic.
They insured it for $5 million, and the ship cost $7.5 million.
Whoa.
It was up to the company itself to make up the difference and self-insure, which means J.P. Morgan was paying. This will come back to. I'll explain this in a sec. So how did they go about coming up with this master plan? Well, the main voyage of this infamous trip took place on April 10th, 1912. On the 14th is when the official story claims the Titanic hit an iceberg and the damage is more severe than they realized, and it sank. According to the theory, like I said, the sinking was deliberate, and part of the plan was opening the seacocks, which let water in and out of the ship, and they were going to have these ships on standby to rescue the passengers. Another reason why people believe this conspiracy is because J.P. Morgan was supposed to be on this ship. He had, like, a beautiful cabin reserved for himself, but he canceled his trip right before they left.
Weird.
He said it was because he was sick or something. So maybe he wasn't there because he knew it was going to go down.
Maybe.
But the president of the ship, Ismay, is on the ship.
Okay.
Now, there's two versions of the sinking. One, that they had just opened up these seacocks and let the water in. And the second one is that they deliberately hit the iceberg and took it as their opportunity to open up the ports.
Okay.
Well, because many people think, like, how could they hit this iceberg? It was a clear night. There was no bad weather. It was so big. How did they not see it?
Well, it was dark. Yeah. There was no moon. That's what a lot of people say that night. The weirdest thing about that night is that there was, like, almost no moon in the sky.
Weird.
Which is like what one of the main navigating things back then would have been.
And they were getting ice warnings from other ships. So it's like, what the heck was going on? We will talk about this.
Okay.
So they also think that the ship didn't hit some people think the ship didn't hit the iceberg at all, but accidentally hit one of the ships meant to be on standby. And since this collision caused more damage than they planned, it caused the ship to sink faster than they anticipated, and the boats couldn't rescue as many people as they were meant to. However, there are no eyewitness accounts from survivors of another ship nearby.
Okay.
Conspiracy theorists say it sped away.
What?
But we can probably doubt that. So speaking of debunking a little bit, it turns out that the original collision with the Hawk never happened in the keel, in the important part of the boat. It was never damaged, and even if it was, it's not unrepairable to the point where they had to sink it and let it go and make a lot of money.
Okay.
Also, when the Titanic was sinking, the closest ship to it in the area was called the Californian, which was said to be one that would rescue the people in the fake sinking. Like, they were like, oh, yeah, that was a ship meant to do the rescuing.
Right.
Or the one that the Olympic / Titanic hit, whichever theory you believe. Like, it's all
over
the place.
What the heck?
Yeah.
This is so weird. It's so weird. This is, like, mainstream. Like, I've literally never heard of this before.
The Californian was owned by another company, so they would have had to be, like, commissioned by J.P. Morgan or other folks for White Star Lines. Like, it just seems like more money than it's worth. Also, a lot of the components were stamped with those port numbers that we talked about.
Uh-huh.
So it's not just the propeller. So in order to switch a ship, changing all of these components would be extremely difficult and almost impossible. Like, sometimes it's like structures in the ship that have these numbers on it.
Right.
To this day, many people who have gone down and saw the sunken Titanic said that it was the correct Titanic's port number. There was also a picture of the propeller with port number 401 on it, which is the correct number. So that's why conspiracy theorists state that there was a propeller from the real Titanic that was switched onto the Olympic and then got turned into the Titanic. Do you follow this?
This is all so confusing.
Yeah.
This is why I'm like, this sounds like bullshit. Because like the amount of things that have to happen.
I know. And there's so many conspiracy theories about like.
It's like 9/11, where
it's meant
like
to hit the iceberg and the water sunk in too fast and the Californian couldn't rescue it. Or, they actually hit the Californian. So it sunk and the Californian couldn't rescue the people. Like,
that's making a big loud drum sound for some reason.
And like, you know, it's like, pick one.
Yeah. And well, it's sort of like, I mean, it goes back to this root of like what we've talked about forever about conspiracies on this show. It's like conspiracies are meant. Are like ways of the mind trying to rationalize things that are completely beyond rationalization and tragedy. And like the human mind cannot fathom how a ship with that much, you know, work put into it, money put
and
into
it. And it was called unsinkable.
And it was literally called unsinkable and then it sinks. You know, like the human mind can only process so much mystery.
Can I say that what every conspiracy theory that we talk about comes back to happens in this one as well?
Oh, yeah? Is it, like, hateful of the elites or something like that?
No. You'll see when they...
Okay.
So let me explain this port number situation. So remember when I said... So, okay. Titanic's port number 401. The Olympic is 400.
Wow.
Conspiracy theorists to explain why the correct port number is on the Titanic, they say that the Olympic with the 400 propeller... scrape the bottom of the ocean before the voyage. So they put one of the Titanic's 401 onto the Olympic. Then they switched the Olympic to be the Titanic. So when it sank and it had 401 on it, it made sense. Because that's Titanic's original port number.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do see what you're saying.
I hope listeners, I hope you're following along.
No, this is just hardcore. Like, yeah, you know.
Now the portholes... that I mentioned, I said that the Titanic had 14 and the Olympic had 16. Well, when you see pictures of the Titanic, it does have 16.
Okay.
So how is that explained?
That's true.
Well, both of the ships actually originally had 14 and then they were modified to have 16. But the Olympic was modified first because it was built first. So like conspiracy theorists like to run with this one and not account for the fact that there were 16 on both boats later on. Also, and I could see why people like find this confusing, but like when they were doing press photos for the Olympic, like trying to show people that were like what the awesome ship was like in advertisements and stuff. Sometimes if the Olympic was out and about, they would take pictures of the Titanic and claim it was the Olympic because it looked exactly the same. And they were like, well, this will do for now. So... it's kind of confusing.
Yeah, it's just weird. Yeah. And it's also just so weird that, like, yeah, again, it's, like, so weird that, like, the human beings, time and time again, no matter the era, no matter what goes on, develop these conspiracy theories about things that are. Mm-hmm. And they're so complex, and they involve so much research, and it means that people, like, went out of their way to try to, like, rationalize this in their head, which is what kind of makes it sad, too, sometimes.
Yeah, and it's so much, like, well... but actually, because it's like, okay, how do you explain the right dock number on the Titanic ship? And they're like, oh, it was switched.
Yeah, right. And a lot of conspiracy involves, like when you start with conspiracy, it becomes impossible to disprove it to a lot of the time because, like to people who believe it, because they've already rationalized the very nature of it being conspiracy. They have rationalized that anything that would come back that is... would be inexplicable. They have a rationalization for it. You know, yeah, the dock numbers. Why are the dock numbers switched? Well, why is the dock number the same?
Yeah.
Well, it was switched. Like, you know, well, why were there no kids in Comet Pizza? Well, they don't want you to find them. Like, there's an answer to fucking everything, you know?
Keeps begging.
I know, and it's going like, bong.
But the ships, I honestly, like, they did look the same, but they weren't really that identical. Like, yeah, they used the same plans, but there were different furnitures, different paintings, different iron rails on the elevators. So they couldn't repair the damage and, like, switch all of these things in a weekend, you know?
Right.
There's just, like, little differences like this and even slight structural differences, like I said. So it would have been impossible to switch. But weirdly, later photographs of the Olympic after the Titanic sank look completely different.
Okay.
And that's true. It did go on to be a military transport ship, so, like, it probably did undergo some modifications. But it's still kind of weird that after the Titanic sank, the Olympic looked like a new ship.
Yeah, that is very, yeah. Very strange. I mean, unless they, like, took the money from the Titanic sinking that they got. But same owners, right?
Yeah.
And just rehabbed the...
Yeah, because yeah, I mean, that I'm makes sense, talk about you know what I'm saying? Like, now. Because back to the insurance situation, like I said earlier, the ship cost $7.5 million at the time to build. They insured it for $5 million, and this is proven in documents. So after insuring, they self-insure the rest, which means they supplied $2.5 million of their own. But
whoa.
That's not what happened. They actually self-insured it for about $500,000 instead. Like, they self-insured it for $500,000 instead of $2.5 million.
Uh-huh.
And also the damage from the Hawk would have been about $125,000 to repair.
Okay.
But instead, they said, no, let's sink it and get insurance money and not pay this $125,000. So why would they self-insure for more than the damages? You know, they self-insured for $500,000 but refused to pay the $125,000 to just repair the Olympic? That doesn't make any sense.
True, or maybe they had already spent that money to insure it and they didn't have the money then to repair the Olympic.
But they insured the Olympic disguised as the Titanic. So why would you insure the ship when you could just fix it for cheaper?
Hey, you're asking me questions that are far above my pay grade,
and also,
lady.
It's for the, I'm asking the conspiracy
We
got
to talk to Ishmay. We got to talk to my boy Ishmay.
No, this is for the conspiracy theorists because they claim they sank it instead of just repairing it. Like, you know.
But, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So now the total payout for the Titanic sinking was $10 million. But not all of that went to White Star Lines and J.P. Morgan. Like,
where'd it go?
Some claims went to the families and like, a bunch of other stuff. And now really quickly, because everything goes back to this, QAnon.
What do they think it is? Ya. Pedophiles? And
no. So many QAnon conspiracy theorists say that, yes, the Titanic did sink purposefully still. And that it mostly...
Because they were doing children trafficking on it.
No. We're not going to talk about that. That's what they would think. But it mostly has to do with the fact that J.P. Morgan was supposed to be on the ship, but didn't get on in the final moment. So this is what they think. They think that J.P. Morgan orchestrated the ship sinking to take out some prominent people or his like supposed rival millionaires, Isidor Strauss, Jacob Astor, and Benjamin Guggenheim. Some do believe in this, like some QAnon conspiracy theorists believe in this the ship switch as well, but mostly they believe that J.P. Morgan was behind this whole thing to take out these people. It's not really clear about
rich
how...
people being elites behind closed doors. That's exactly, yeah, it's what it always comes back to. Man, right. QAnon is the most amazing conspiracy theory ever. It encompasses every single one. It yep. makes up its own new lore yep. that is so fucking crazy. It is the mother of all conspiracy theories. It's like next level. I feel like we should like do another episode
about Q.
Yeah,
we need to redo it. We did one forever ago, but...
And we also know so much more now because we watched the documentary and yeah. like, you know, Q itself has evolved in the post-Trump era, which mm-hmm. we should kind of probably do an episode about soon too because there's a lot to talk
Maybe
about.
Maybe you can do that one.
I could. I mean, and like, you know, even to the point where like Ron Watkins is running for U.S. Senate in Arizona in Garrett's district. So we should talk to Garrett about what he's been seeing of that.
All right. So it's not really clear about how J.P. Morgan did this. But the plot supposedly involved ensuring the ship had the wrong signal flares, and some even believe that the Titanic's decks could be electromagnetically sealed to trap passengers.
Okay.
QAnon. What's going on? So, yeah, that's crazy. But the supposed motive of J.P. Morgan's for mass murder is the claim that Astor, Strauss, and Guggenheim opposed the creation of the Federal Reserve, which is the nation's central bank. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are a lot of reasons why this isn't true either. One being that none of these people opposed the Federal Reserve.
One of these being that it's not true in any way. And another being, no way this is true at all.
Yeah, and another being that Guggenheim in particular didn't book his trip on the Titanic until after J.P. Morgan canceled.
Okay.
Okay, let's really quickly talk about how the Titanic actually sank, because it's obviously important, and it obviously does show that some people are at fault here for what happened, like 100%. Not purposefully, probably, but their mistakes were made. So there were approximately 2,200 people on board the Titanic, 1,300 of them being passengers. And yes, throughout much of the voyage, the wireless radio operators on the Titanic, Jack Phillips and Harold Bride, had been receiving iceberg warnings, most of which were passed along to the bridge where the captain is. But on the evening of April 14th, the Titanic began to approach an area known to have icebergs. Edward Smith, the captain, slightly altered the ship's course to head farther south. However, he maintained the ship's speed at like about 22 knots. Which is really high, honestly. He should have slowed down. At approximately 9:40 p.m., another boat sent a warning of an ice field, but the message was never relayed to the Titanic's bridge. At 10:55 p.m., the nearby Californian ship sent word that it had stopped after becoming surrounded by ice. And Jack Phillips, one of the men in charge of relaying messages, scolded the ship for interrupting him. And did not relay the message to the captain.
Hmm.
By the time the lookouts could actually make out an iceberg, and apparently his binoculars were missing, they didn't have any, they couldn't find
Correct.
Them. And Edward tried to veer left, but it was too late. The ship hit the iceberg. Now, the high speed of the ship and ignoring the iceberg warnings are definitely part of the reason to the why of it all. But also, those iron and steel rivets we talked about. For one, the iron rivets were extremely weak, and for the steel, they use sheets and rivets that can become extra brittle in the cold.
Okay.
And easily cracked at the slightest contact of, like, in this case, an iceberg.
So icebergs can melt steel beams.
Not to mention, like, the lifeboat situation. There were only 20 available lifeboats, which would only carry half of the passengers and crew. Apparently, the designer of the ship didn't want too many lifeboats, making it look too clunky.
Yeah.
But
famous last words.
1,517 passengers and crew were lost that day, and just 706 of them survived the sinking. That's absolutely
crazy.
Insane.
Mass casualty event.
And I don't think anyone really knows, like, why it sunk, except for, like, these little mistakes. Because, like, in the first inquiry into this, it said that the iceberg caused a 300-foot gash on the starboard side of the ship. But, like, then as we did later investigations, like, underwater, it looked like it only knocked out some watertight doors. So, it's, like, it seems as we do more and more exploring, there's new theories and, like, new reasons as to why it sunk.
James Cameron, the filmmaker, has done a lot of good research on this in addition to making the actual Titanic movie. He did a movie called Into the Abyss, where he literally goes down with IMAX cameras into the ruins of the Titanic. It's sick.
And do you know, like, what
have
you heard?
I saw it when I was, like, 10.
But what have you heard as to why it sunk? Like, do you know?
That it took on too much water because it hit the iceberg.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like...
That makes a lot of sense. If it cracked immediately because it was cold and because it hit a giant mound of ice and then it took on a ton of water and it became top heavy or whatever and it sunk, you know, it makes sense.
It's
a huge boat. I mean, and like, if you were to think it like, you know, how deep an iceberg is, it probably made a pretty good size gash in that boat.
Yeah.
And think how fast. I mean, it probably took on water. Probably did not take that long for that water to start pouring in. And you know how water, like if you dumped a water bottle, if you put a water bottle on like a, in a sink, you fill up a sink, you put a water bottle on top or in a pool. The water bottle will float on top until you tip it one little bit and start to get that first little bit of water in it. And then it becomes top heavy and it all just starts filling up and diving down into itself. I mean, it's kind of not. It's, to me, the iceberg, like icebergs are fucking huge.
Yeah. It's, what was I going
to say? And if the conditions were right for things to break, I think it's very easy to believe that it took on water, and the arrogance of the people who created it, calling it unsinkable, likely put some kind of universal karma in there. I mean, not putting enough lifeboats on there. You're just simply destining yourself to sink. Like,
I know. It took 2 hours for the ship to sink.
And I believe that.
Which is fast.
Yeah, that's very fast.
Yeah. And it's actually crazy how the ship sunk. Like, going like backwards like that.
Yeah.
Like, when you picture a ship sinking, you think it just goes, like, parallel down. But
no, but it's because of how it took on water.
Yeah. It's crazy. Did it actually snap in half?
I don't know.
Like, in the movie? Maybe I shouldn't research that. But, yes, the conspiracy theorists think this was all the Olympic that actually sank because it was so badly damaged. And they said, let's just sink it and get a lot of money instead of paying to repair it.
Well.
Which, as I hope you were following along, I know this is confusing, but, you know, wouldn't make any sense because repairs cost less than self-insuring the Titanic that is supposedly the Olympic. So, all in all, I think this one's bunk. Make any sense. I agree. There are some, you know, conspiracy theories I like to believe just because it's fun. But this one, there's just no.
Well, and there's also some things that are called conspiracy theories that are definitely not conspiracy theories, like the JFK assassination.
Right, like that's fact.
You know, so it is a complicated web. Like, conspiracy is always complicated, and that's why we like to talk about it, because some of them are rooted in fact, and some of them are completely insane.
Yeah, like, and there's a lot of, obviously, like, Photoshop shit out there. Like, you know how I said the names of the Titanic seem to be bolted on instead of like engraved? That is like not true, by the way. I didn't say that either. There's some documentaries about how, you know, this conspiracy theory, and it'll show the Titanic's name and it looks like it's riveted on, but it's not real.
Damn.
It is not real. It is Photoshop. Damn. Yeah, it's not real. So this conspiracy is a, if you believe this though, and I like missed a point, definitely let me know. You know, we're still open to everything.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if I missed anything crucial, or, you know, there's probably other reasons why they did this little switcheroo that I didn't touch on, or maybe other reasons why it was purposefully sunk that I didn't touch on. But I feel like I hit the main ones. So
you did.
If anyone ever tells you that the Titanic never sank, say, explain more, please. And don't be mean. Okay. Anything you want to plug?
There's a new baseball hat song out. Link in the description.
There will be a link in the description for the new baseball hat song. That's Harrison's band and our roommate, Johnny.
Swag.
It's really fun. You also check it out. Give it a follow on Spotify.
Yeah, please. If you're on Spotify listening to the show, just go ahead over to Baseball Hat. Just search it in the little search bar. Press follow. You don't even need to listen to the music. But
yeah,
the more people that follow Baseball Hat, it all helps the cause. So if you enjoy me on this little show, please do that for me.
And
thank you.
And also, you don't...
And the music is sick. Like,
you don't lose anything by just hitting follow.
Right.
Nothing will happen.
Nothing will happen.
Just go about your day.
It will just tell you when we put out new music, which isn't that often.
And you know what also won't ruin your day? What did I say?
Rating and reviewing.
Spooky Show on Apple Podcasts. Please, yeah, and thank you. Oh yeah, you can rate on Spotify too.
So just do both those little Spotify tasks.
We have some homework for you.
Yeah, homework.
Go do those two things before.
And if you don't, you fail.
Yeah, if you don't, you get a big old F.
If I don't see those numbers start to jump on Spotify because y'all aren't following, I know how many we have right now. So get your little fingers working.
If you don't, Harrison's not going to come back on the show.
If you don't, I will sing the whole episode next week and be annoying.
Oh, God.
I will be annoying to all of you.
All right. And that's a threat.
And that's not a threat. That's a promise.
Oh, and that's a promise. Okay, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Have the best week of your entire life. Bye.
Bye.